Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast this morning, we talk about senior care with Crossroads Elder Care. We preview a screening of the documentary For Our Daughters. We also preview the Brilliance Summit early in November, thanks to West Michigan Women Magazine. Kelvin University student body takes a major step toward achieving the university's carbon neutral goal we discuss. And the annual Grand Rapids International Wine, Beer, and Food Festival happens November 21. We get the preview of that as well.
Talk to my next guest about the role he and his plays in the senior world. Important role. Sebastian Early in the house, vice president with Crossroads Elder Care. Good morning to you, Sebastian.
Good morning, Shelley. Thanks for having me on.
You're quite welcome. Now I'm going to stereotype you. You are far from a senior, but I know this is important work that you are doing. So thank you for being here. I met you at our Rotary of Grand Rapids a couple weeks ago, and this is how it happens.
That's how it happens.
We get you on because you have a story to share, and anything that has to do with seniors, let's hit it strong. Let me ask you the blunt question: who is Crossroads Elder Care Options, and what do you do?
Yeah. So Crossroads is an elder care advising agency which helps seniors and their families completely free of charge to understand and select options when it comes to senior housing. So think independent assisted living, memory care, skilled nursing. We help people with home care and then also resources in the area as well. So we work with families all over West Michigan, serving Lansing to the Lakeshore and probably about Kalamazoo up to Big Rapids. And, you know, typically when families are going through this transition in life and looking to find care for their parents, it's a very stressful and more often than not overwhelming time. And so we're proud to have been in business now for the last 13 years. We've helped thousands of families and can really help take some of that burden off their shoulders.
And I'll give you a little plug. Why is it important to work with an expert in these times?
You know, our mission at Crossroads is to make sure that families never have to say, "If only I had known." And we hear this, I mean, unfortunately, all the time, where they've worked independently, not necessarily understanding the industry, and have selected a senior living community or home care agency that isn't the right fit for their needs, whatever, you know, one of a million reasons could be. And so think of Crossroads and our team of senior advisors almost as an umbrella. So we sit over the hospitals, the family practices, the rehabs. We work with the wealth management firms and the estate planning attorneys. We're constantly touring and in touch with all the different senior living communities and have a wealth of understanding on the financial side with Medicare, Medicaid, long-term care insurance, all these things. So when we work with families, we can take this really consultative process looking at the clinical side of things, the financial side of things, the legal side of things, and then of course the housing and care side of things, so that once a decision is made, it's the right decision, and we don't need to uproot someone after they've already made a large transition in their lives.
Again, so much to think about, but hence a reason to work with an expert. Obviously, the elephant in the room, how early should a family start talking about, where I'm going to end in later years?
No, I don't think you can ever be too early, right? We do so much planning in our lives in a number of different areas, and this should just be one of those pieces of that overall life plan. I mean, when we're helping families, unfortunately, a lot of the time it is in a crisis situation where their parent has been admitted to the hospital or to a rehab because of a fall or because of, you know, mental degradation with Alzheimer's or dementia. And if families don't have a plan, sometimes they're forced to make some of these decisions for what care looks like after the fact in 24 to 48 hours sometimes. And we can help with that, but it makes it a lot easier on a family and helps to reduce some of that stress if we can be working with them years in advance, 3 months in advance. Just helps to make sure these big life changes aren't rushed and there can be proper time and consideration.
Is the first step to contact you and I trust meet wherever is best?
Yeah, certainly. We're happy to come to homes if that's something that a family would like, but we have an office over on the East Beltline that families can come into. We have an entire senior resource center in there as well. Or just give us a call, 616-485-3365. One of our advisors will be happy to talk through things with you.
Yes. And again, Sebastian, you mentioned early planning important. How important is it to have the seniors involved in the decision?
I think it's very important, right? It's a big change in their lives, and we want them to feel confident and hopefully as positive as possible with what that change entails. So we want them to understand all the benefits of it and not be scared of any myths or misconceptions in the industry.
Sebastian Erdley with us, again, Vice President with the organization Crossroads Elder Care Options. Find the care your loved one deserves. I like that tagline. Would you share maybe a common myth or a misunderstanding in the industry in general?
Yeah, I think there's two main ones that we come across most often. I'll touch on one for sake of time and expertise as well with our advisors. But that one is that people seem to think, or maybe the antiquated thought is that there's just skilled nursing facilities and they're very sterile and clinical and it's not a positive environment. It's where, unfortunately, people just believe they're going to pass away. And the reality of the matter is that some of these communities today are so nice. I mean, my grandparents recently moved into one. It is much nicer than my apartment. Love to visit there. And there's so many activities as well, from book clubs to movie watch parties to happy hours, cards, sewing classes. Their quality of life has increased so much. And that was a big thing in talking with them last year and helping them move into a community is they lived in their home for, I think, almost 60 years, and it was a scary step for them. But once we do some tours and some education and talk about the benefits, they wish they'd have made the decision a couple of years earlier.
Do you work, Sebastian, with families that look to keep mom and dad at home as long as possible, as safe?
100%. We explore all options, and that's why it's important for us to not only partner with the senior living communities, but the home care agencies as well, so that if it does make sense for someone to receive care in their home and they desire to stay in their own home, we can bring in the resources for them and allow them to do that comfortably with a good quality of life.
Why is this important for you to be involved? And I jest, but you're not a senior. Why are you investing your career here?
No, it's very fulfilling for me. I recently joined Crossroads, but it's a family business. So my mother started this business back in 2012, and seeing the impact all these years that she's had on the community and on seniors, and even firsthand with my own grandparents, how important and helpful that was. It's a very fulfilling line of work to be in, and to be able to offer this service for free to families. We're compensated by the communities and home care agencies, but to help families for free when they're in these very tough situations is a great feeling.
I've been with the roving mic to a couple of the organizations, and their wellness centers are, something I'd like to join in on, and certainly more, that's for sure. All right, back to square one, Crossroads Elder Care Options. How do we find out more information about you and yours?
Yeah, I mean, feel free to visit our website. Lots of helpful resources and information, blogs, articles, et cetera, on our website. But please feel free to just, again, give us a call, 616-485-3365. Our advisors are fantastic. They're former nurses or life enrichment directors or dementia care specialists at communities that now get to translate their skills to helping families at scale. So happy to talk through things with you, provide that education, or feel free to pop into our office. We're there and happy to sit down and have a chat.
Wonderful. See you at Club 77 this Thursday.
You will.
Thanks. Take care to you, Sebastian.
Thanks, Shelley.
It's this Thursday, October 3rd, at the Knickerbocker Theater. Let's talk to my next guest to talk about what we see. For Our Daughters, Kristen Dume on the line. Kristen, doing great things in our community. Renowned historian, New York Times best-selling author, Jesus, John Wayne, and of course, professor at Calvin University, the local tie. For Our Daughters, described as featuring, and I have witnessed this in this morning, sit-down interviews with victims and whistleblowers of sexual abuse in the SBC. We'll talk about this. So yes, I had a chance to review your film and looking forward to Thursday night. Kristen, good morning.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
I appreciate you, and thanks for what you do for the students at Calvin University. And as mentioned, you're a professor of history and gender studies to boot, in addition to authoring, and so good things happening. Let's move right into what we see October 3rd. This is also described as exploring the conservative Christian subculture of sexual abuse and silencing women. This is a tough film to watch, but a true film?
It is. It's really tough to watch, but we thought that these stories have to be out there. This is true, and these are women themselves speaking about their experiences inside church communities, both their abuse and then what happened when they reported their abuse.
More from me and then more from you. Groundbreaking report that examines sexual misconduct reports. And again, I said the SBC. This is the Southern Baptist Convention, but obviously important to share all over the U.S. of A. So open up this conversation where you do hear from survivors and we hear from you. What do we see?
Yeah, we hear harrowing stories of women who were abused by pastors as children or teenagers, and then what happens when their church finds out. And although the prominent women in the film are members or were members of the SBC, these patterns of behavior extend throughout the conservative evangelical world. And what happens time and again is that churches close ranks and end up protecting the predator and defending him, and it's the victim and her family who's marginalized, ostracized, often blamed for the blamed for her own abuse, all in the interest of protecting the witness of the church, protecting the church's power.
Is this present day happening?
It still is. Nearly every day, if you're following this news, you'll hear stories of abuse breaking, often abuse that has been covered up for years, sometimes even decades. This has been going on a long time, but what's changed now is that women are finally speaking out about it beyond their communities with social media and with national press coverage. We're now hearing these stories, and those stories are then inspiring other women to speak out, women who recognize that's what happened to them. They're not alone, and they want to add their voices to the mix to try to make sure this stops happening and that people are equipped inside churches, inside these religious spaces, to see these patterns and to bring them to an end.
Yes. More from the exposure by exposing the abuse and the abusers who distort God's name to justify their actions. Does the film For Our Daughters challenge women to be a driving force within their own communities?
I think that it's hard to watch this film and not want to take the next step, not want to do what you can wherever you are placed, if you are a woman inside a church, if you are a man inside a church, to stop this pattern, to speak out against abuse, and not just speak, to look at your church's practices, to look at how things run, to look at checks on authority, checks on power, to make sure that your members of your church are educated so that if a report is brought, you know exactly what to do. And the instinct to cover it up, to make it go away, it doesn't actually control the narrative. So I think that's really important. I think another thing to be done here is simply to have the backs of survivors. One of the most disturbing things in the film, I think, is to see how women themselves who are victimized by a predator are then re-victimized by faith communities more often than not. So, when you see a survivor attempts at discrediting them, at smearing them, at silencing them, there are things that everybody can do to shut that down and to take the side of survivors in this story and to really bring reform.
The film is For Our Daughters, a screening in Holland this Thursday, October 3rd, at the Knickerbocker Theater, speaking with Professor to give us the details on this, Kristen Dumay. Let's talk about how Thursday works. Free event, but you ask us to reserve tickets.
So the Thursday event is actually, you need to buy tickets for the theater. So you can go and you can buy tickets online. And it's a wonderful event sponsored by Phil Processing and Hope College. And if you go to that event, you'll see the director is flying in for this, a number of participants. I'll be there, and so there'll be a panel discussion following the film. But if you can't make it to that, the film is available to watch online for free. It's on YouTube, and you can go to forourdaughtersfilm.com, watch the film there, and get all sorts of resources to help you and your church and your community to address the issue of abuse.
Well, again, nothing like being together to watch the admission. Well worth it, especially when it comes to a panel discussion. So, Kristen Dumay, Professor Dumay, how do you bring this into your classroom?
I do on occasion. When I'm teaching, I teach history of women and gender. I teach religious history. And I think it's important that we talk about these themes, that we talk about power dynamics, that we understand that you know, Christian history has its inspiring moments and it has its darker moments, and we can't hide from the darker stories. Certainly, you know, people of faith themselves and scholars analyzing these traditions. So it's not the only thing I talk about in the classroom, but it certainly does come up.
Thank you. Again, details one more time for Thursday, please.
This Thursday at the Knickerbocker Theater in downtown Holland, 7 p.m. Doors open at 6:30. You have to buy your tickets in advance. And it'll be a wonderful screening, and a number of participants from the film and the film's director will be there to discuss afterwards.
For our daughters, on behalf of this Professor Kristen Dumay from Calvin University, check out your good work and your bestseller, Jesus and John Wayne. Thank you, Kristen.
Thank you so much.
The Brilliance Summit will provide a platform for Brilliance Awards finalists and honorees to impart their wisdom, insight, and lessons from their development as leaders. You don't want to miss this Thursday, November 7th event. Yep, not until November in the afternoon, but we know how the calendars fill, and we know the good work that West Michigan Woman Magazine and its sister magazines, including Review and more, work in our area. Casey Smith, publisher, always a pleasure to have you here. Good morning, Casey.
Good morning, Shelley. Thanks for having me.
Just received my West Michigan Woman Magazine. I've got my Review. How do you do it all?
Well, some days I ask myself that question, but you know, when you do what you love, it makes every day a really great thing, and we get to share stories that really are powerful from our community, and that's what energizes us, whether it's Review or West Michigan Woman or any of the other publications we work on.
So, of course, the arts and music, your theme for Review, and who's on your front cover for October?
Yeah, we have, we're featuring Kim May. She is a breast cancer survivor. The October issue is our wellness issue, and Kim is a survivor, and she has four young daughters, and she fights the good fight every day for research and trying to find a cure for breast cancer. And we're really, really, it was our honor to feature her. It's a beautiful story. And like I said, it was our honor to feature her.
Thanks for that. Well, you feature many on the covers, but in between the Brilliance Awards, a staple in our community in the spring, and now you bring the Brilliance Summit to us in November. Yeah. Tell me more.
Yeah, you know, the Brilliance Awards has been a great success for us, and people walk away so inspired. And a common thing that we hear is that, you know, you hear the story of all 30 of our finalists that night, and you want to hear more, and you want to be able to engage in more of a conversation. And so that is the precipice for our Brilliance Summit. It is allowing us to bring back our finalists and honorees to share more of the story, to engage in more of a conversation about whether it's tenacity, whether it's leadership skills. But our intention really is to continue the conversation from Brilliance Awards and extend it, to learn from it, to build upon it, and ultimately create an afternoon of further inspiration. And enthusiasm and ultimately delight.
Yes. tease the date, Thursday, November 7th, an afternoon, so we can get all of our work done in the morning and then hear from the best. How will this work at New Vintage Place?
Yeah, so we're going to go ahead. It's going to work, I'm going to say, a little modified version of TED Talk style. We're going to have short sessions. We'll have our keynote speaker. We're very excited to have Meredith Bronk. She is one of our Woman of the Year finalists. We're going to have a panel discussion that is talking about what does it take to stand out and to step up, facilitated by none other than you, which
I'm very excited to have.
And we have an all-star panel with that, finalists from our Brilliance Awards. And then we also are going to be having a short interview with Dr. Kelly Christopher, who was our Woman of the Year last year. And her story is really tremendous. I mean, she's really a pioneer in the field of STEM. And then we're also bringing back Zanetta Adams, who was our Woman of the Year the previous year. And her story of strength and tenacity and endurance is truly, truly inspiring. And then we'll end our day with a Q&A session where all of our attendees will have the opportunity to ask information about any of our panelists. We have networking sessions. We'll end with a session where, again, everybody's together collaborating and just being able to, like I said, extend the conversation beyond just the, you know, the 1 minute snippet that we get to tell of those stories during the Brilliance Awards. So we're really excited about it, and we encourage people to come join us. Bring your girlfriends if you're looking for an amazing day of, like I said, inspiration, enthusiasm. I guarantee you're going to walk away energized and feeling good about moving forward.
You can pretty much do that as well, knowing how you and these ladies work. And there's a man involved. I always appreciate where one of your awards is the Brilliant Best Supporting Man, and Dr. Biersack will be on the panel.
Yes, Dr. Biersack was our best supporting male this last year, and he certainly brings to Trinity Health an amazing perspective. He's from the West Michigan area. He has served in so many capacities, and obviously he has worked around some amazing and talented women, and his support of women is really encouraging, and he'll talk about that in the panel discussion, and for him, what it takes to stand out in his world as well. So great lessons I expect to hear from him and all the other panelists.
It is entitled The Brilliance Continues, because there is now a West Michigan Woman Brilliance Summit Thursday, November 7th. We'll probably remind you again as we get a little closer. Maybe there'll be a leaf change by then. Of course, Casey Smith with a Serendipity Publishing Marketing Agency. Of course, West Michigan Woman Review, part of that. You mentioned this. Who do you need in your audience?
Well, we are looking for anybody who really is looking to come for a little bit of inspiration and motivation and leadership. And I think we all need to have a jolt of some of that inspiration from time to time. And this is a great opportunity for really women and or men at any phase of their career. If you're just starting off, this is a great opportunity to hear from pioneers out there in the field of leadership and business. And for those of us who have been around a little bit longer, gosh, you know what? We all need a day where we get re-energized and re-motivated. And hearing these stories, I guarantee, will do just that. So people can come in and purchase tickets. You can come in and purchase a table and bring your girlfriends. So it's really a day centered around, like I said, continuing that conversation and really focusing on inspiration and what does it take to kind of just, you know, take that next step and feel good about the work that you're doing and maybe validate some of the initiatives that you're doing in your own life and maybe give you some inspiration to take a next step.
I like that. And again, ending with the networking reception fire you up to go out into the world and be a West Michigan woman. How's that?
That's right.
How do I get my magazine?
WestMichiganWoman.com. It is a free subscription. All you have to do is subscribe.
Great. All right, Casey, how's your golf game?
Well, I'd like to say it's a little bit better. I got this thing called work that sometimes gets in the way. But other than that, you know what? I treasure each day I get to go.
That's good. All right. Thanks for what you do. Most likely we'll talk again. But until then, November 7th, that afternoon key when it comes to a Brilliance Summit. Thanks, Casey.
Thanks, Shelley.
Let's talk to Michigan's Calvin's Calvin University's Dr. Matt Hune, an engineering professor. Big things happening under your professorship and leading the way in a very unique effort. Student body taking a major step toward achieving the university's carbon neutral goal by working across disciplines. Let's talk about a plan for solar energy. Dr. Matt Hune, good morning.
Good morning, Shelley. It's great to be on your show again.
Appreciate you and the time to discuss this project. Remind me of your history with Calvin.
Yeah, I've taught at Calvin for a little over 20 years. My first year was in the semester in the fall of 2002, I should say. And I've been teaching engineering ever since here. I love it. It's a great place to teach and work, and I'm eager to share the story about what my students are doing with you.
Nice. Well, between you and me, it seems like 2002, but I digress. All right, so here we are, and let me just add this stat, if you would agree. According to the National Centers for Environmental Information, this August was the warmest August ever recorded. So do we need to mitigate climate change? I'll start here.
Yeah, definitely. Each month and each year, we're setting records or nearly setting records. And the impact on the ecosphere and human life and human habitation are going to continue to get worse as time goes on. The time is short. We've delayed quite a bit to addressing these challenges. And I think it's important to be able to educate students around these issues and to equip them to be ones who can serve in this way in their careers.
Right. So you gather your students and you talk to them about what needs to be done. And do you come up with a solar energy farm?
Well, that's the question for the students in my class this semester, but not only my class. We have three classes on our campus this semester that are working toward answering the question of what should be the design of a Calvin solar farm. The three classes that we have are my class, which is what we call a thermal systems design class. We have a structural engineering class and a physics class. My class will be doing the system design and figuring out where is the best place on campus to put on campus or off to install solar arrays. The structural engineering class will be looking at roofs and roof loading and whether, what are the potential great spots to install solar panels on roofs, and being careful about how much weight load they'll provide. And then the physics class is going to be doing detailed performance calculations. The customer for this project is the CFO for Calvin, who's very interested in the results of this work and is very much supportive of what we're doing. We also have our physical plant or our facilities head involved in the project. We have the president of the university is sitting in on some of the briefings that the students are providing. And we also have some support from the electronics shop here at Calvin as well. So it's kind of a campus-wide effort this semester to try to find out what would be the best way to do this for our campus. And like you said, in pursuit of our carbon neutrality goals.
So where are you now? Here we are, October 1, when it comes to planning and the actual formation and operation.
Yeah, the students are, in my class anyway, have just started in their teams. We have a team that is focused on mounting on roofs, like I mentioned, a team focused on mounting for car parks. Maybe you've seen solar panels at parking lots. So that's another thing we're exploring. We have two teams working on ground mounting of solar panels, both on campus and off campus. And finally, we have a campus infrastructure and modeling team in my class that's going to be looking at sort of general outlines of what performance is going to look like. And the other two classes are breaking up into their teams as well. The structural engineering class has started looking at various buildings on campus already. The physics class actually begins their work in the second half of the semester. So we're just ramping up. And today, in fact, is the second progress report of my students to the CFO. So we're just getting started. At the end of the semester, we will have a public seminar on the 10th of December that anyone is welcome to come and is invited to attend. And the students will show off their final design. And then it'll be essentially at that point a handoff to the administration for them to decide if they want to run with that design, if they want to modify it a little bit, if they want to get an external view on what this should look like instead of the internal one, and then figure out how to fund it and go for it. So we're still in the planning stages, but it's just, you know, Shelley, it's just so fun to watch the students come to grips with, okay, this is a big project. Most of them don't believe they can do it, but by the end of the semester, they'll be there, and it'll be exciting to watch that final presentation.
That is cool. What are, in general, your students studying? Are they in your field of engineering, of other physics and more?
Yeah, so the students in my particular class are mechanical engineering students. The students in the structural engineering class are civil engineering students. And the physics class, those students are studying physics, but that's actually a general physics course, so there can be students with other majors in there. It's just fun. It's, I said the word fun already, but it is so fun to watch these students with different interests and different backgrounds come together to work hard on this particular project to serve our campus, right? And I view engineering as a service profession, and it's great to see the students getting, making a trial run at that kind of service for their own school, a place that they're invested in, and they want to be better in the future.
Cool. Dr. Matt Hune with us, engineering professor at Calvin University, back to talk about how Calvin is leading the way in an effort to take a major step toward achieving a university carbon neutral goal. Yep, talking about a plan for solar energy. And Dr. Hune, are other universities potentially carrying out climate action goals and watching how you work?
Yes, absolutely. There are plenty of universities that have gone down this road and are going down this road. Grand Valley, as I understand it, has a solar farm that they've worked out with Consumers Energy. There are plenty of other schools that have carbon neutrality commitments. The work of my students last year, which was focused on choosing a carbon neutrality date, was featured in the USA Today. So our story is getting out there. And there's a whole bunch. In fact, there's an entire organization focused on sustainability in higher education. It's called ASHE, the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education. And if any of your listeners are interested in that organization, they can look them up. And there's plenty of hints and suggestions and examples of what other schools are doing in this area. That they can use for their own universities and their own campuses. We rely heavily on the ASHE work, and have contributed to some of the case studies that are there. And I think that's a great resource for other schools that are interested in this kind of work.
Very nice. Taking care of our planet. Are you class today?
Yeah. In fact, it's presentation day today. Like I mentioned, the students will be briefing the CFO. So we'll see where they're at. And we always do the briefing. And then during the briefing, there are pointed questions, and friendly, but pointed questions from the assembled dignitaries. And then I always do a debrief with the students in the next class day to talk about what happened there. And those are always rich times of learning and exploration for the students. It's just a great honor to be, working alongside them for these fantastic goals.
Cool. Be fun to be a fly on the wall watching Dr. Matt Hune and his in work. All right, you're prepping our future. Thank you very much. Calvin University, again, a university carbon neutral goal, and it's happening under your leadership. Take care to you.
Yes, thank you, Shelley. Appreciate being on the show. Have a great day.
Get your planner out and mark that weekend of November 21 through 23 on your list. It's time for the Grand Rapids International Wine, Beer, and Food Festival. Well, it kicks off with a pretty cool event, Cheers for Charity. That's what we are talking about, and we'll discuss the whys as well. Never too, of course, early to start planning for this Wine, Beer, and Food Festival. that is the labor of love of my next guest. That would be you, Dawn Baker, festival manager. Is it ever too early to start talking about
it's not. I start talking about the next one as soon as this one closes down, or actually before that, often at the festival. But Shelley, this is our 17th annual, and tickets are now on sale. So that's the general admission tickets for Friday and Saturday, the 22nd, 23rd. And what's great is you can buy your general admission ticket and your tasting tickets right away. But add to that, the pairings are on sale. And there's only six of those. Again, you've been to one. It's a one-hour seated dinner with a chef, a sommelier, a cicerone, or a mixologist. And it's quite the experience. I mean, it is top shelf. And the pairings we have this year, we'll start off with our beer pairing, which is Archival. They're back again this year. And also returning is a wine pairing by The Kitchen, Wolfgang Puck's restaurant there. And then add to that, we've got some new things happening. So new this year, the Grand River Ballroom by Sanchez. They've got a wine pairing dinner. Madrid has a wine pairing dinner. And Noodle Pig has joined us. They have a spirit pairing. But then I'm going to talk about this one. This is kind of special. So many people know Chef Nader from Trinity Health Grand Rapids. He is doing a Michigan, Marvelous Michigan focused dinner. I know. And featuring wines with every course that are gold medal winners from the Michigan Governor's Cup this last summer. So a lot of great pairings. And there's only 20 seats per seating. And so those go fast. If you're wanting to join us for a pairing dinner this year, because you've seen it, and, you know, you've maybe drooled as you walked by, you need to get the tickets now. And then we have a new pairing with Cheers for Charity event.
Yes, that's wonderful. And, of course, the pairings are a must, but just attending is a must for these several days. Let's talk all things Cheers for Charity, and bringing you in Barbara Anderson, Associate Vice President of Philanthropy for Hospice of Michigan, doing good work. Tell me about the good work of Hospice.
Yeah, well, we are really thrilled to be selected as the partner for this great festival. And for a $150 ticket on the 21st, that's the VIP night where you can come support Hospice of Michigan and participate in a great live auction. We're finalizing some really fun experience packages, learn more about our mission, of course, have great drinks and great food, mingle with friends, you know, going into the holiday season, all to benefit Hospice of Michigan and our work in the community.
Wow. This, Dawn, is 6 to 9, as Barbara's saying, Cheers for Charity in the Grand Gallery space. Have we done something like this before?
We have not. Yeah. This is recreated with a lot of innovation, and we, you know, had a VIP night last year. What we did is we learned from it. And so we took something, we wanted to really create something that's spectacular, that's very exciting. And so this night on Thursday for the Cheers for Charity event, you're not going to see just a wine table by supplier or by winery. You're going to actually be able to experience your wine, your beer, cider, all of that differently. For instance, listen to these tables, Shelley. Bubble Bash. We've got Go-To European Reds, Killer Cabernets, Passionate Pinots, and Porch Pounding Whites. So we have wine tables that are really centered on flavor profiles and very unique setting, right? But add to that, there's also a historical beer table, a Good Vibe brew table. We've got a Simply Cider table and a couple of tables dedicated to spirits. So you're still going to get all of those beverages that you'd like to try, including some NA options, restaurant small plates, some gourmet specialty items. There's a food demonstration on the Meyer Food Stage. There's also a wine demonstration and a spirit demonstration.
So it all happens that Thursday night?
Yes. It is nonstop fun.
Yes. Hospice of Michigan, as you mentioned, Barbara, honored to be selected as a charity partner. Can you expand on why this is important to not only raise friends, but raise dollars for your organization?
Absolutely. So these events are critical to our mission. Funds raised from this event and, you know, just from donations make it possible so that we don't ever have to turn a patient away. So regardless of age, diagnosis, or ability to pay, we're never going to send a patient or a family a bill. They're always welcome to receive care from us.
Yes. And let me have you expand. We've asked this question before, but the Hospice of Michigan, it's not always a sad place.
Definitely not. You know, we find that there can be joy and celebration in every phase of life. And, you know, sometimes when people know that there is limited time, that can be the most poignant and uplifting, because you get down to kind of what really matters. And we are very happy to be a part of that.
Receiving that compassionate end of care, end of life care, as you mentioned, regardless of age, diagnosis, or financial resources. And I imagine, Dawn, we are a land of philanthropic choices.
Yes.
But Hospice of Michigan probably rose straight to the top for this first annual event.
It was, yes, definitely. And here's what I would say. As we are going through the process of choosing a charity, the festival itself has been investing in community through businesses and foodpreneurs. And this is an opportunity now to give back in a different way to really a charity partner that impacts. I would say most of us have had an experience where we've needed that. So it's near and dear to our heart. And I think it's a wonderful way to kick off celebrating life itself at the Cheers for Charity event, benefiting Hospice of Michigan, and then moving through the rest of the days of the festival.
Yes, it's a Grand Rapids International Wine, Beer, and Food Festival. Kicks off 2024, as we're mentioning, with the Cheers for Charity Night in partnership with Hospice of Michigan that night, November 21. That whole celebration of wine, food, beer, and more on the from 21 to 23. What else do we need to know, Barbara?
Make sure you get your tickets soon. We're, as you've heard already, we're planning a really great, fun night. You're not going to want to miss out. So go to the website, grwinefestival.com, and get those tickets, get those pairings, and come out and support a great event.
Because there's wine, food, entertainment with this?
Absolutely, live entertainment.
It's important to tap our toes as well, Dawn.
I will just add, Shelley, that if you come to that night and you're going to get 150 tasting tickets, and let's just say you have some leftovers because you've seen so many people that you know, and you've really just relaxed and enjoyed that evening and maybe not gone through all your tasting tickets, those are still good on Friday and Saturday. So
I'm glad you said that.
Yes, I mean, you can make this a whole weekend. In fact, there's a hotel package.
I was just going to say, if you're planning on using all of your tasting tickets, maybe you want to plan ahead. They're on the website. There's a great hotel package offered as well, including a visit to the spa, a gift card for. So lots of good things in there.
Weekend in your backyard. We find out more about hospice via the website?
Yes, hom.org.
All right. Looking forward to this evening, Thursday, November 21st. It'll be here before we know it. And again, so will the whole festival. Dawn?
Yes, so make sure you get all your tickets at grwinefestival.com and keep checking back, because there are new things that are being lined up every day. It's going to be an exciting year, and I've been doing this a long time since the beginning, and I am very, very excited about the things that are coming together this November.
And that would have been 17 years ago. Well, you just look 17 years younger as we speak, so... Dawn Baker, thank you, Festival Manager. You as well. Barbara Anderson, Associate VP, Philanthropy for Hospice of Michigan. Quite the team. See you on the 21st of November.
Cheers, Shelley.
Thank you.
Your inspiration for the day I like to end with, Stephen Chomsky. This moment will just be another story someday. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. Make it a super day. I'm Shelley Irwin.